Thank you, Pastor Aki.
I was downstairs grabbing a water to have up here, and I saw that Kool-Aid drink down there and the bug juice in the little plastic container, and I thought, that might be a little more tasty than water up here. So we'll stick with water. What I want to share this morning is about trials, and in particular, the title of what I'm going to share is called Life is a Trial. When I was in college, I had the privilege of having a professor that we went through the book of James together, and he suggested that one of the themes of the book of James is that life is a trial. And, of course, James is writing to Christians, and he's challenging us to live out our Christianity, but don't we have trials as Christians? Every human being has a trial all the time, or frequently, or we're going to have them. I believe it was Chuck Swindoll said, we're either going into a trial, either going through a trial, or we're coming out of a trial. So we're going to have trials. So this topic, as you know, has been a tornado in my life the past 5 years, and you can guess why. For those listening on the radio or on the internet, we lost my son Jeremy to suicide 5 years ago last Sunday. But you know what? There's more trials than what we've gone through. There's many different trials. And as we go through trials, let me suggest that we don't compare trials. You know, often we do compare, but we need to be careful when we compare trials because our past experiences really can dictate how we are feeling in going through that trial now compared to the way somebody else may feel. So we need to be careful. But you know what? God does allow us to go through trials, and he says in Scripture, so that we may be equipped to help other people. So I'm very thankful that God has decided to include in Scripture the trials of men and women. Amen? One of the ones that pops to mind as we discuss this topic is Job. And if you've never read the book of Job, I highly suggest you read it because it is a good book. And Job was challenged, and in a very short time, Job lost his livelihood, lost his oxen, his sheep, his camels, his servants were killed, and one servant escaped to share with Job what had happened. A short time later, the account says that a wind came in, struck the four corners of the house, and it killed all 10 of Job's kids. And then to top that off, he was afflicted with painful sores all over his body. So, you know, many of us have had physical things happen to us, whether short-term. We have many long-term things going on in church. And we know the pain and the agony that that can put us through. And we don't like it. We like to have our freedom, and we like to have our ability to help people and do things that we've always done. And when we're afflicted with physical ailments, that's difficult. But there's other kinds of trials, too. We go through periods of loneliness. And if you've ever experienced loneliness, it's difficult. I've been there for a short period of time in my life. Could be financial loss or job loss, injuries, death of friends or family members, maybe a betrayal of a friend, another person's sin. And we think of Jeremy's decision. His sinful decision affected our family and his friends. And so other people's decisions can affect us. How about property damage? A few years ago, we had a massive flood on West Side. You know, we might lose the power at our house. Things might shut off. We could have car problems. Some trials are even self-induced. Like buying a car. I don't know how many of you like to buy cars. I don't like to buy cars. So if any of you are very good at buying cars and would like to help me the next time that we buy cars, I'll take you with me. The Bible has a lot to say about trials. 1 Peter 1, our passage this morning. Thessalonians, Romans 5, we looked at with Chip Ingram this morning a little bit. In Sunday school, John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Say that with me, in me. So in our trials, Jesus says that we can still have peace. And I'll tell you, the past 5 years, as difficult as that has been, we've had also been flooded with peace. And we've seen God work. And God has taught us many things through His Word. And He's challenged us, which I'm going to share a few of those today. But God floods us with peace. And He can. Okay? That is possible. Jesus is telling us this. Okay? So let's take a look at James. If you have your Bibles, open up to James chapter 1. We're going to probably get through 7 verses or so today. James chapter 1. Now, as you're looking there, James was the leader of the church of Jerusalem. And we're going to read the first verse, and we need to write and see who, or we need to figure out who his audience is, which is right in front of us. But James 1:1 says this: James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. So James is writing to scattered Christians, in particular Jewish Christians. This is the church of Jerusalem. There are many Jewish Christians there, new converts. So think about what was happening during this time period. There was persecution of believers, right? So lions' dens, burned at the stake. There was all kinds of things going on persecuting believers. So they were scattered. So God was using this persecution to allow the gospel to be spread and shared. Okay? Here's a blessing amidst this trial that we see here. Okay? So James is writing to these believers that are scattered abroad. So let's go on to verse 2. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Your version might say when. When or whenever. So James is also saying, just like Jesus, that when or whenever you have trials. So we're going to have trials. We're going to have those. And as Chuck Swindoll said, going into one, in, maybe coming out of one. And it might not be that extreme, but sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? Okay? So when we face trials, all people face trials. Think about Moses, Abraham, David, of course, Job. You know, sometimes we gloss over Adam and Eve. Didn't Cain kill Abel? They lost a son. And their other son murdered their other son. What a thing to go through in life. You know, sometimes we blow through that and, you know, we get irritated that that was the first murder and things. But Adam and Eve had a big loss there in multiple ways. Joseph, Paul, Peter, John, Jeremiah, Isaiah, the list goes on. Insert your name. Insert my name. So a trial is this. A trial is something that happens outwardly that is allowed by God to test our faith. God told Israel in Judges 2, verses 21 and 22, he said this to them: "I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations that Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk in it as their forefathers did." So God provided a test for Israel. Remember, Joshua went into the promised land and they were wiping out the nations in Canaan that God had promised Abraham that he was going to give to the Israelites. And they went in there and they were obedient. But eventually they got to a point, says, "Nope, no more. These people that are left on the outside are to test you, to see if you're going to be faithful." Okay, and we know from reading the account what happened. But the purpose of a test, think about a test in school. The purpose of a test in school is for us to see what we know. Maybe to see if we've learned the skill. Okay, so we're checking out an end result. Okay, and God is also using trials in our life to test and see where we're at. He's testing our faith. So let's go back to the passage here, verse 2. So we know it's going to happen. But James says this in the first part of the verse, and I don't know, when you read this, if you feel the same way I do, and he says, consider it pure joy. Okay? Sometimes I struggle, I shake my head at that. All right, God, so I'm supposed to consider it pure joy that I just broke down on the way to work, or that my son took his life. You're telling me that. Well, not quite. I don't believe that James is sharing that with us here. So it's not that we have to love the trial. It's not that we have to love that exact thing that has happened to us. But really what God is telling us, it's the outcome that's coming because of the trial. Okay, it's the outcome. So we are to consider it joy because of the outcome. So our attitude has a lot to do with this. Our interaction with Scripture has a lot to do with this and how we're thinking. So we have to think this. God's plan is bigger than ours. God's plan is not our plan. His purpose is greater than ours. And life is not about you and it's not about me. But don't we try to do that? We try to do that. We try to make it about us. And sometimes we have problems with that as we're getting challenged here. Okay, so I don't like the fact that my son is gone. And adding suicide to that, I hated that. Okay, on top of that, making that even more difficult. A lot of sadness, a lot of confusion. Yet, amidst that, we have to think about the process and what God is doing here. Okay, and it's hard to see that when we're in the trial, but I want to remind you some things that have gone on the past 5 years beside this hurt. Caitlin and Austin are sitting in front of you today, and they're married, and Jeremy's decision had a lot to do with them getting together. And if you've never heard that story, you need to have them share. Okay, so we're overjoyed that God used that to help bring them together. Jeremy has a friend that was a year older than him, played baseball against him. After Jeremy committed suicide, he accepted Christ into his life. There's a girl at West Branch, through some FCA events, she accepted Christ into her life. The gospel has been shared to many people. The doors of encouragement have flown wide open. I have a colleague at West Branch that her son took his life in the springtime. He was in the United States Air Force. So they're going through that. I've had some interaction with her, but God has opened the doors for us and for family and friends to have opportunities to encourage. So, James is telling us to consider it pure joy because of the outcome. So let's look here. Let's go back to the text. Verse 3. So he says, consider it pure joy because you know that the testing of your faith is going to develop what? Perseverance. The word there is perseverance. So there must be something important about perseverance for it to be here, right? So perseverance has to do with stick-to-itiveness. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to push on. And sometimes it's hard to push on, isn't it? Okay, I don't know about you. I'm not real good at refinishing furniture. I remember as a kid, my mom, I always had to have my hand in something. I wanted to paint. I wanted to do this. But she, maybe in her wisdom, maybe it was just something that she thought I could handle. But she handed me a little chair that actually came from church. It was a really dark chair. And she gave me the stuff to help refinish this chair. And after I got the chemical on that chair, I started scraping. Started scraping, it started to dry, and I started scraping, and I'm like, I don't like this. And then, I haven't even touched the spindles yet, so I did not stick to that project. So I don't know whatever happened to that chair. I think it sat in our basement for a long time, and maybe it's still there on 906 Martin Street. I don't know, but I know I did not stick to that very well. But you know what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? That God gives us a race to run. Each of us, as believers, we're to run that race. We're to stick to it. It's not easy. It's not an easy race. It's not easy being a Christian. But you know what? Jesus ran ahead of us. And he's there waiting for us. He's at the goal line. We have each other. We have the people that went before us as examples that we can look at and learn from, and we can push on. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you everything I've needed that you need for this. So how many of you want to finish this race well? Do you want to finish this race well? I do, but it's not easy. So this trial is to test our faith. So think back to what it said in Peter. This was our verse at the beginning of the service here. The little piece in there, Peter says, we have trials because to help see, to prove our faith if it's genuine, so that it may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Our perseverance honors God. When we persevere and push through it, God is honored by that. He is pleased by that. It's not easy. It's not going to be easy. So think about this. James is writing to these scattered Christians that are persecuted. Persevere. Hang on. Keep going. And he says the same thing to us. So why is perseverance important? Okay, there must be a reason that perseverance is important. And James continues to develop this. So let's go back to the text here. Verse 4, it picks up. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be what? Mature and complete. Okay, so we may be mature and complete. So, because of the trial, what's coming, James says to consider it joy because of what's going to happen. Okay, now that word complete there, the word complete means all portions whole. All portions whole. So as we think about this, a couple ways to think about this. As a Christian, our mind, our heart, and our actions working together. James is writing to Christians here, and he's challenging us to live out our faith. But if it's just in our mind and our heart and we're not living it out, that's not the whole. The whole is living it out and living our faith. And James is challenging us here in this book to persevere through trials. But that's important that we persevere so that we can become mature and complete. That has to be important. So think about this. We've been studying in Sunday school 1 Corinthians 13. And we've been discussing love. Chip Ingram's doing a study on love. Inside of this chapter 13, around it, there's great discussion about spiritual gifts. Okay, and Paul says that we have spiritual gifts. And we're challenged as believers to seek out those spiritual gifts and use them. It's important that we build up one another with our spiritual gifts. So he spends a great time in this text. But Paul also says this, that even greater than our spiritual gifts is love. It is even greater. It is superior. Because all those gifts are going to fade away, but God's love and our love for him is going to endure forever. So think about how that ties in with the book of James. God wants us to be mature and complete. All parts working whole. Even amidst the body of Christ. All of us working together, living out our faith, our mind, our hearts, and our bodies, serving and loving one another. And God is honored with that. As Peter says, God is honored with that. It's easy to quit. It is. I've quit things. I've given up. But you know what? We're going to fail. You are going to fail at trials. I'm going to fail at trials. The failure is never final. Can't we persevere through our failure too? You know, we might fail. And you might fail again. And you might fail again. But we can still persevere. You know, we can learn from those failures. And, you know, God is honored. He wants us to push through. But he also wants to push through when we fail. Because he loves us. Okay, so we are to push on with joy because we know the outcome is spiritual maturity. Have you ever asked God to help you see the trials as a trial and even respond correctly? You know, sometimes I get irritated with things, and it upsets me that I get irritated, but can I pray and ask God, God, please help me to see that this is even a trial. Help me to recognize that, and I know when you're working in my life. Because sometimes we get irritated quickly when things happen, but maybe we need to pray ahead of time and say, God, please show me when you're going to work here. Now, if we stop there with handling trials, this would be incomplete. So we got to keep going here. The past 5 years, you know, has been a volcano in my life. A lot of sadness, a lot of confusion in our family's life. A lot of questioning. We've wrestled with God. But how do we deal with life when we're being thumped? And we're being thumped. And we're being thumped again. Well, James offers some more solutions here. Besides persevering and pushing on, he says this in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So, we're to ask God. Now, sounds like prayer, right? Okay, we're supposed to ask for wisdom. Wisdom in the trial. Again, I just said, why not ask for wisdom before the trial? Because we can do that. You know, the past 5 years have been really challenging. And I've asked why many times. More so at the beginning, but I still get upset. And I still ask why. But when I ask why now, God says to me, Dave, I've already told you why. And he reminds me of things like this. He says this. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Dave, my ways are not your ways. My plan is not your plan. My purpose is not your purpose. Dave, I am making you more mature and complete. Dave, I am humbling you. James chapter 4. Dave, remember Isaiah 48, verses 10 and 11. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Dave, remember Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2. In that verse, it says, the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. So God is giving some answers. He doesn't say, this is why Jeremy took his life to me. And when you read the book of Job, you don't see God saying, Job, this is exactly why I did this. But you do see God speaking to Job, and he shares truth with him. You need to read that account. It's good. 2 Timothy 4:18, God will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. But you know what? Trials are all around us. We still fail. We still struggle. Okay? We know what to do. We pray. You guys, I know you pray when things happen. We ask for prayer requests. We pray for each other. But you know what? We still struggle. So let's see what James says here, why we continue to struggle. Verse 6. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Say this after me. Emotion. Oh, say that again. Emotion. Own thoughts. Wrong teaching. The world. Satan. All of those are our enemies. Okay, now emotions are good. God created emotions, but if we're living by our emotions and we're living by our own thoughts, James says we're like something on a wave getting tossed around. Think of a styrofoam you've seen on a wave, a piece of styrofoam just bouncing around. It's what we're like. So here's the thing. James says it's without faith. We're asking without faith. So here's the thing that we're struggling with. We're not trusting God. We're not trusting God. Dave, are you trusting me? God has challenged me with that. Dave, are you trusting me? Put your name in there right now. Put your name. Am I trusting God? Because we either are or we're not. And think about when things are going awry, even the anxiety that's going on in our country right now, and we get all kinds of feelings. Stop yourself and ask yourself this. Am I trusting God or am I not? Because that really is a deep question that we need to ask ourselves. And we need to believe what's said here. Obviously, wrong teachings, people can influence us. We hear things and it changes our thinking. So we need to be in God's Word. When we have to ask for wisdom when we're praying, we also need to be in God's Word, don't we? Amen? Every day. Where else can we find the best godly wisdom than in God's Word? So we need to be in God's Word daily, studying it, transforming our minds, because Romans 12, Paul says, we got to transform our minds. We got to be changed by our thinking, by God's Word and God's people. There's a lot of godly people in our lives that can help us with our thinking and our faith. So if we're not trusting God, it's like not having an anchor. Our ship is going everywhere. No harbor to be in. Okay, I want to close with this and finish with this. So the last point to survive trials is that we need God's people. We need God's people to commit to prayer for us. We need to commit to prayer for them. It's very vital that we do. It's vital that we get around each other to study God's Word. But it's got to go deeper than that too. It really has got to go deeper than that. So when Christians are living like Christians, and Christians are living like what James says in the book here, or what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, that love is supreme in our actions, what demonstrates our faith. It can't be that we just show up Sunday morning, hear a sermon, and go home. I said that last Sunday night. Church is to be more than that. Our relationships that we're to develop, we're supposed to come alongside of each other and help one another in the body of Christ. Love is supreme. I love to hear testimonies. I want to hear testimonies of what people have gone through, because it helps build my faith and it encourages me. So there's a lot of things that when we get around the body of Christ that we need to hear. Now, I remember a situation that happened years ago in a church. There was one of the members went through a divorce. And they never came back to church. And I'm like, why? I'm like, why didn't they come back to church? This is a place for healing and where we should be rallying around one another. So when those things happen, it's difficult. I will tell you from experience, Jeremy taking his life was difficult for me, because here I am, a Christian dad, trying to raise a Christian family and feeling like that shouldn't be happening to Christians. So we have failures, but we still need to rally around each other when those things happen and realize that those people are hurting and they might be embarrassed to come back and sit in this church. But it's easy just to think, whoa, I wonder where they're at, and I hope they come back. This is a good place, but do we pursue them? Do we chase after them? Because maybe that's what they really need. They need somebody to have a cup of coffee with them and say, we still love you and we want you to be a part of your life. Somebody might be sick. Maybe they need taken to the grocery store. Maybe they need their walk shoveled. You know, we need to pray. But sometimes it needs to go beyond prayer. And we need to be the body of Christ that God is challenging us to do. And I believe the message here throughout the book of James, as we go through trials together, that we need to rally around each other, and we can think about and we can grow together through these, and we can grow individually by becoming mature and complete. Isn't being mature and complete living out our faith? It really is. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the chance to look into James today, and I thank you for the challenge that James has given us. It's a deep challenge for us to live out our faith. God, it's not easy to live out our faith. It takes time to invest in people's lives that are hurting. And sometimes we are willing, sometimes we're not. And Lord, sometimes it's we don't know what to say, we don't know what to do, God. But here again, James says to pray for wisdom, and you're willing to give it. You give words when we speak. You give thoughts when we need to think through things. You said that you will provide. You will give us everything we need to live this life. And God, we just praise. We're going to trust you, and may we grow through this and through this word this morning. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor?